With the 50th pick of the 2024 MLB Draft, the Boston Red Sox select Peyton Tolley, a left-handed pitcher from TCU.
All right, Craig Breslin and company cooking on this pick.
1 year after he was drafted, 2 months after he makes his Major League debut, Paul Skeen starts the All-Star game.
High leg kick from Tolley, and he struck him out swinging with a changeup.
Renat in a swing and a miss, and a high fastball, and that is back-to-back K's for Skeens.
And he just struck out against Peyton Tolley. Reached back and fired 97.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Good afternoon and welcome to a very special afternoon at Fenway Park. WEEI Afternoons in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. Special show for a lot of reasons. Some people might think we're going to talk about Peyton Tolley and his debut against Paul Skeens, but also the guy sitting in the studio with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Ted looks different.
Ted shrunk.
Thank you.
Everyone knows that voice. That's Rob Bradford, Brad Foe. Baseball isn't boring, and that means if he's here, I have a read for our friends at McFarland. McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. You want to yell it?
McFarland. Come on, Fitzy.
McFarland.
There it is. Look at all these big. Come on, everybody out
let's
here.
Let's go. McFarland. Hey, McFarland.
All right,
McFarland.
Let's go.
I mean, it was a launching.
T-E-R McFarland. Go.
Okay, that's enough chanting from you. Right. But Brad Foe's in for the first hour here, because Dan Ball and Ted Johnson are off today. And it is indeed a big day at Fenway Park, as I mentioned. Peyton Tolley will make his MLB debut against Paul Skeens, even though there was that little hint of confusion at the end of our show yesterday when our buddy Tim Healy with the Boston Globe was like, well, it could be Harrison trying to be a wet blanket and rain on our parade, Brad Foe. But nope.
No.
We're getting Peyton Tolley.
It was always going to be Tolley.
Well, it was always Tolley. See, that's what we thought too. I don't know why we took the Healy cheese.
Here's the thing, is that Tolley is the guy that they think actually can pitch the rest of the season here.
Ooh.
Right? So
is that like six starts?
Yeah. So when you talk about the best version of what you're going to have this guy coming up, and it is. I am so looking forward to this. Before I go, don't you think this is the hottest ticket of the season tonight?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you. You have as much perspective as anyone. You've been here a quarter of a century.
No, I mean,
comings, goings, debuts, rivalries.
I mean,
this is a big deal.
Ken Laird walked into the studio with an ice pack under his belt.
Yeah, but, like, you know, in fairness, like, he did say excited. Farewell to Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. You know, he's a huge, huge, huge.
You can't, like, when we were talking about it yesterday, Bradfo, you can't think of a bigger matchup, and there is no better way to me. This is literally grabbing all 6'6", 250 jacked up pounds of Peyton Tolley by the ankle and dipping him in the River Fenway Styx. He's going up against the best pitcher in the National League, who is
also, by the way, 6'6".
6'6",
and dipping him in whatever river you're talking about. Yeah. But, yeah, 6'6", and coming out with the exact same mustache.
Yeah,
it is weird.
Mustache, they're both jacked up. They're both giants. He's, you know, Skeens is righty Tolley. Tolley is lefty Skeens. Like, this is awesome.
Can I just tell
both
you?
Hardos, too, which I like.
Yeah.
Out there.
The hardest.
Former two-way players, both of them.
Yep.
And I, to set the scene here a little bit, when I was walking down here, I looked out on the field, and you can't obviously miss Skeens, right? I mean, he's gigantic. He's wearing this cut
off. Sun's out, guns out.
Right, cut off. I mean, there's a reason why Livy Dunn's dating him, right?
Is she going to be here?
Well, that's who knows.
When you leave here, Bradford, that's your assignment.
Listen, I'm just saying that Cooper Boardman might have a connection for a third inning appearance in the broadcast booth.
Oh,
Or may not. I don't know. Ooh. Who knows? But so I'm walking down here and I look out in the field.
Someone will have to restrain Douglas.
Yeah. there's this massive guy, this Skeens, standing on the mound at Fenway, getting the lay of the land there. Then he walks over and he walks around, he walks across the field, walks to the dugout, checks out that mound. And so I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm running down. I'm like, I'm going to watch this guy roam around the bowels of Fenway Park, because he just went into the bowels of Fenway Park. And I don't blame him, because he's never been to Fenway Park.
This is history for him.
It's history. But then he disappeared. But that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I actually thought maybe he was coming down here to pop on the show. Why
not? That'd
be
great.
He was literally walking in this direction. So why not?
Damn it.
But that was a scene, because you forget, as iconic as this guy has become, and he has become iconic, this is a first for him. He is still only 23 years old. Peyton Tolley is 22 years old. This is, for these guys, this is what is great. This is a great night for baseball, and I sincerely mean that, where you have, not only do you have two young pitchers, the guy who's done it at a historic rate since he was called up for the last year, but now one of the top pitching prospects in baseball, but also, guys, the image that they portray, to your point, Fitzy, the image that they portray is something.
It's striking. No, this
is striking.
The word I chose for tonight is, this is a dynamic night for Fenway Park, the Red Sox, and baseball. This is exactly the kind of matchup you would want to see at any time. This is exactly, for me, somebody who believes that Peyton Tolley has a chance to be the 2025 version of 2008 David Price for these potentially playoff-bound Red Sox. There's no better way to get this kid galvanized for a big moment than by saying, hey, NBD, your first start is going to be a Friday night against the best righty in the National League, who's like a mirror version of you. That's how you get him ready and tune him up for the postseason.
And by the way, Tolley, once he gets past the start, you're going to understand he has an unbelievable personality, a great personality, a great guy to talk to. I mean, I went down and interviewed him, and you could tell, like, he just wants to have fun. Like, he just wants to have fun. He talked about the whole thing about how his mustache is inspired by Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck, how he dressed up as Magnum P.I. 6 years ago, and then nobody knew what he was because he just showed up with these high-riding khaki shorts with a Hawaiian shirt, and everyone's like, these high school kids were like, what are you doing? What's happening? I'm like, a Magnum P.I. So this guy is just such a great personality. He's also... having to interview a lot of these young players, unfortunately, a lot of them, you hear the same sort of tone and tenor, and they're going through the rookie development program, and they're available, and they're nice, but they're saying the same things. This guy is not going to say the same thing, and I really, really looking forward to this guy's run here.
So put it in perspective. You know, I'm being serious when I say you've seen everything basically that's happened to the Red Sox over the last quarter century, Fenway Park, everything that's here. Are we getting too far ahead of ourselves? Because this is a guy who's trying to do something that's kind of ridiculously impressive, to go boom, 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 right up the ladder, one season, not even his second full season, first full season in pro baseball, go from A to this, Paul Skeens, Fenway Park. Oh, no, not to mention, you're, you know, streaking toward a playoff spot, you're chasing a division leader, you're playing good baseball, and this isn't just a one-off and you're going back down because somebody needed an extended rest. This is... yeah, we might want to make you part of this baseball team heading toward the postseason.
So I guess there's two ways to answer that. In the here and the now, it's absolutely a moment that we should remember, right? I mean, I remember covering for the Boston Herald, I remember covering Clay Buchholz versus Roger Clemens. And Clay Buchholz was the top pitching prospect for the Red Sox, and he was going up against Roger Clemens, who was on a rehab assignment. That was a big moment. That was something that everybody in that minor league park, they could not hold the amount of media that were there. So in that moment, now going forward, I'm like, okay, Clay Buchholz versus an old Roger Clemens. Oh, well, we don't know what Peyton Tolley is going to become, but we do know in the here, the now, this is what we have. We have the most, I'm going to say it like, other than Shohei Ohtani, the dynamic player in baseball, the one guy, and guys, this will scratch right where you itch, where it is, we want those players where you said, I got the Pedro ticket, I got the Roger ticket, I got the whatever ticket. And those guys are dwindling and dwindling and dwindling and dwindling, but Paul Skeens is absolutely one of those guys. Absolutely. So you have that guy, one of the most recognizable, popular players in the game, who hasn't skipped a beat. He hasn't barely had any bad starts since he's got up here, against what we know of Peyton Tolley. We don't know what we're going to know of Peyton Tolley. Might be different tomorrow than it is today, but what we have right now is one of the biggest pitching prospects in baseball. On top of it all, as we said before, the iconic image of the two. I mean, I don't think you can ignore this. Like, we've seen players go up against each other, pitchers go up against each other, like Buchholz and Clemens, whatever. But people should soak this in, where you're going to see two guys, 23 or under, 6'6", 260 pounds, you know, on the with these huge mustaches going up against each other. This is a night to remember.
They're going to probably have to do like a jersey swap after the game as well, because this could be such an iconic night. Any chance that Toley, after he hits the mound tonight, may be able to audition for edge rusher for the Patriots?
Oh, right?
Because they're just cutting guys left and right down in Foxborough.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. That's a good one. I don't know if he'd be quick enough for that.
No,
I don't know. Nah.
He does sort of seem...
be a fullback. I've been looking for a fullback for a while now.
You have it. 6'6" fullback?
Absolutely.
And Andy,
right?
He looks like he has either like the gumption or the DGAF to do it, because am I wrong? Is he a little bit like... like left-handed Kenny Powers?
Oh yeah, there's some interesting aspects to his personality.
What?
He's bounding down, just like.
No, I know. I'm very familiar with Kenny Powers. There's a lot to pick through there.
First of all,
let's be honest. Like,
speaks his mind.
I'm trying to think of the way he throws and who's played Kenny Powers? What's his name?
Danny McBride.
Danny McBride. I heard him on the podcast talking. He's like, I barely knew how to throw a baseball, and you can tell when Kenny Powers
terrible.
So not the same throwing motion. But no, I would say the Kenny Powers comp is more the Beckett of the world going back then. But no, I don't think he's like that. But I'll come back to it. He has a personality. He still, to this day, or to this moment right now this year, he has the best quote of anyone who's given me this all year, which is when I asked, hey, listen, you're close to the majors. He's like, yeah, I'm close to the carrot. I can smell the carrot. I'm like, you can smell the carrot. He's like, I can smell the carrot. Like, what a great line. I don't even know if carrots can smell. I have no idea.
Do carrots have an odor?
I don't know.
How strong an odor?
It's usually sweet.
Is it?
Yeah. Sweet carrot.
We actually brought it up. Carrot. We brought it up on the Baseballs and Boring Show, and a farmer called in to give us the deep dive breakdown. Yeah. Now we have an official farmer of Baseballs and Boring.
617-779-7937. How excited are you for the Peyton Toley debut, Fenway Park tonight? Assuming Mother Nature, the only one who could screw it up, doesn't screw it up. There is obviously some rain and some storms forecast, but hopefully we get Paul Skeens versus Peyton Toley. Last week, Bradfo, there was a quote, I think I read it in the Globe, about Peyton Toley from Craig Breslow saying, we don't believe the moment will be too big for him, or the stage, something to that effect. Do you believe that? Is everything you've seen? Obviously, we can see the numbers in the production, but there's going to be a little different, but it's Friday. It's Fenway Park.
Friday's different.
Could be a rain delay. They could be extra lubed up by the time he takes the mound. Lord only knows what happens here. Is he ready for this spot?
Friday night's pour beer on your face night.
Nice. Let's go.
It's the
Stone Cold style?
Why is that different from Monday to Thursday?
Well, it's a little bit more. It's that meme of the kid in the bleachers and the Bogarts home run. That's like everybody at Friday night. And it's great, right? Every time, and this was a difference that Fenway has become, I think, over the last few months, and I said this to Cora, which is, listen, and you said this on your guys' show, where before, every time he would say, oh, that crowd was great, it was always a Friday night crowd.
Yep.
And now he talks about this sellout against Kansas City on Monday, and people are actually showing up for things more than bobblehead nights. They're actually here to pay attention to the game. So, coming back to Toley, I mean, I don't know. All we have to go by, he wasn't great in his first inning at AAA. Do you want to use that? That's fine, because after that, he was nails. It's impossible to tell. But I will say this, when he gets out there, he is going to be throwing harder. It is physically impossible not to throw harder than you always have in the past. You get the third deck, you get the crowd, you were pitching before many, many more people than you ever have. This whole thing, now it's just, here's the thing, Peyton. Here's my advice to you, if he's listening. Of course he is. By the way, I just saw Just Nixon, Dirk Garcia, get into an Uber, so he's probably gone.
That's it.
Yeah, I imagine Abreu's acting.
I'll always remember that.
The password now known as the expense account.
So now I get to ask him, what do you talk to your Uber driver about? But I would say this to Peyton Toley. Forget about everything else. Throw strike one on every batter. That's it. If he has a fastball down the middle, throw strike one to every batter. That's it. There you go.
Okay. Now, we talked about it yesterday. In a lot of ways, we're all going to fixate on Peyton Toley making his debut. This is great. The real pressure is on the guys batting 1-9 against Paul Skeens, right? Yeah. They got to score some runs. They've only scored, what, three runs the last 2 days, a couple nice wins there. What is the Roman Anthony, for example? Speaking of guys that made debuts, lived up to the hype, all of a sudden Roman Anthony, who a lot of people think is an MVP candidate for the next 10 years in Major League Baseball, is going against Paul Skeens, a Cy Young candidate for the next 10 years in Major League Baseball. Is this lineup ready for Paul Skeens?
No, because no lineup. No,
no, okay.
No lineup.
6-1-7.
Well, guy. No, no eight, lineup has been ready for Paul Skeens.
He's 8-9 with a 2 ERA. Yeah. That is criminal. There, that is absolutely
criminal. I think the most hits he's given up is 7 in a game. In
seven. That,
he's got a 0.9 ERA as well. But speaking of 0.9, the whole entire notion, Brad,
that you didn't think you'd say when you woke up this morning.
Yeah. The idea that Peyton Tolley has only pitched 9 minor league games in Double A and Triple A on his way up here, is he the most well suited of any pitcher to not even throw more than 3 Triple A games and get the call up to the majors?
Yeah, because I think this is the way baseball is going, and there's been obvious other examples. I talked to Garrett Crochet about this. Garrett Crochet didn't pitch in any minor league games before he got to the majors. He was drafted partly because of the COVID chaos, but in 2020 he was drafted. He went to the alternate site. He was good there. As he said, I was pumping 100 and I was the shiny new object, so they called me up and he appeared in the postseason that time. There's other examples of this. David Price, he pitched in 5 regular season games. Before he got called up, before he hit the playoffs. There's plenty of examples like this. We're seeing it more and more and more and more. I don't know if it's lightning in the bottle or if these guys are just ready, whatever it is. But as we sit here right now, it is hard to imagine that there is a better option for the 2025 Boston Red Sox for this spot in the rotation than this guy. Maybe it doesn't work out. I don't know. But with all the information we have, including even with the experience factor, you got to think that he is the best option, because if he is good, like the kid Nolan McLean, who's just dealing for the Mets after being dropped into their rotation, if he's that good, then you got this run now, and then potentially you got an impactful guy in the pen in the postseason.
So do you think that is the plan and the hope, that he ends up in the bullpen for the postseason? What are best case scenario and like most realistic scenario for this to play out?
Well, if they didn't have 3 guys, which, you know, I think that they're pretty confident in 3 guys in a rotation, they'd say, well, it maybe catches fire and he makes a start. Maybe he does. But I think the more realistic scenario, if Peyton Tolley's good and he shows he belongs, then you have Crochet, Bayo, Giolito as your postseason starters. And normally you might not need a 4 starter. And then you put him in the bullpen and you do the David Price thing where you come in, which I thought they were going to do all along. I mean, he's that type of guy. He's the big guy with a good fastball. You bring him in, just throw strikes, get the guy out, come in with the bases loaded against J.D. Drew and game 7 of the ALCS and strike him out. That's all you got to do.
617-779-7937. How are you feeling about Peyton Tolley making his debut at Fenway Park tonight against the Pirates and Paul Skeens? Red Sox have won 7 of their last 8 games on the road trip. Return to Fenway, where they've been awesome all year. It is a Friday night, so that means it might be something special. And I'm a big believer that if you're special, you're special. That'll answer your question, Fitzy. If he has it, if Peyton Tolley is what everybody's talking about, he doesn't go out there and fall on his face tonight. I think special, like I go back to LeBron James, straight out of high school, and it was like 19 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's everything they said he was.
And I think in football, you know, I'm trying to think of the comp in football, because I don't think necessarily it's apples to apples with quarterbacks. We saw that with Peyton Manning, right?
Right.
It takes a while, because the quarterback is the most complex position in all of sports.
It's a wee bit more complex.
Right, but
no, this is the guy on the mound who doesn't have to worry about anybody but throw ball.
But you guys know this, is that you've also seen wide receivers, running backs, edge rushers.
Yep.
All these guys are like, that guy's it, man.
Absolutely. It. I mean, the Patriots are hoping Travion Henderson took the opening kickoff of the preseason for a touchdown, and everybody's like, oh, did they get one of those guys that's going to be everybody's raging rookie running back in fantasy football and all that? 617-779-7937. We're talking about the arrival of Peyton Tolley, but we also have to talk about a departure from your New England Patriots, a surprising departure. They continue to mess with the roster. We thought Mike Vrabel wanted to make the roster better. On the surface, it looks like he made it worse today. We'll tell you all about Jabril Peppers, who was a surprise cut. Why was he cut? What's he doing on social media? What are his former teammates doing on social media? That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Nick Fitzy-Stevens has what's trending.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Well, again, we want to continue to strengthen the roster, and I don't know if that's the players that you're talking about or some other players or how that may come about, but I know we have had conversations. We'll continue to have conversations about continuing to improve the roster, and then again, if it makes sense and then we feel like it's advantageous to us, then we'll consider it.
That was Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel on Patriots Monday, the Greg Hill Show, talking about improving the roster. Now it's Friday. We're at Fenway Park for WEEI Afternoons, and the improvement of the roster included cutting veteran safety Jabril Peppers, who I know this is going to be a shock to the guy who's not here today, Ted Johnson, who, if you remember, is like, Vrabel loves him, loves his energy. You see all the reps he's getting. He's a linebacker. He's in the box. He's going to play. And he's gone.
And I legitimately thought if there was anybody on the Patriots defense that survived through roster cuts, free agency, the draft at all, that was Vrabel-centric and cut from the mold of Mike Vrabel football, it would be Jabril Peppers. As I've described before, the guy wakes up and eats violence for breakfast. He loves hitting. He'll play wherever you want. He's one of those guys, same way that Will Campbell would die out there for his quarterback. Jabril Peppers would probably do anything he could to stop someone from scoring a touchdown. And yet now, 2 days after they introduced the team, he's gone.
So what's the theory?
So driving in, I listened to Rich Keefe, and I kind of like the theory that Rich came up with, a Keefspiracy, where he said...
those bullets?
Yep, sort of. He said something to the effect of Jabril Peppers makes the team and then realizes what is now being well reported, that they're going for the safety starter spots, likely with Jalen Hawkins. That's how notable a player he is. And the rookie, Woodson, the eraser. And maybe didn't react very well to that, didn't take it sort of in stride, and maybe that negative reaction made them think, oh, this is not the kind of guy we want to work with. Because if you're keeping, I'll say it again, if you're keeping your best 53 football players, Jabril Peppers is among your best 53 football.
He's
probably in the top half.
I was going to say he's in your top, I'll flip the 53 and go 35. Now, Andy, right now we've got veritable trusted sources like Phil Perry, Andrew Callahan, etc., all saying on the X, nothing off field, I'm told. No incidents. If people are wondering if it's an off-field issue, nothing happened that made this a necessary cut or removal. So as the weather now begins to turn outside of our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, showers right now out on Lansdowne Street.
Also a large tarp that says L.L. Bean being dragged across the field at Fenway Park.
It's made from reconstituted jackets from L.L. Bean.
Those boots look good. They're just
anyway,
not what we wanted to see.
If people are wondering, like, oh, man, he must have, like the Keefspiracy, he must have gone off, or maybe there was something else that happened in Braintree. Hopefully not. No one's heard anything about that, which means that this could very well just, this could be, I don't know, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just decided now all of a sudden he's not a scheme fit. That's weird.
Maybe it's just a big day of departures, surprising departures, because we have some breaking news, Stiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
According to Chris Pitillo on Twitter, the Red Sox are releasing former starting pitcher, short-time bullpen arm Walker Buehler. Rob Bradford, reaction.
Yeah, so the Red Sox just officially announced this. Okay. Here are the moves. So it's official. Peyton Tolley has been activated. And will wear number. I'll give each a guess.
69.
19.
All right, you're closer. 70, number 70.
Ooh, I missed it by one.
Yeah, good guess, though. They confirmed the report. Cotillo by a second over the Red Sox.
Wow. Nice.
Walker Buehler has been released. And Nick Sogard has been recalled from Worcester. And as I said, as I broke getting into the Uber driver, into the Uber car, just Nixon Garcia heading back to Worcester as well. But big news, the big news is that Walker Buehler gone.
Walker Buehler. So we've dealt with a couple Patriots releases of late where it was later reported, oh, this guy asked for his release, whether it was Epps, the safety, Kendrick Bourne. Do you think this was I don't want to be in the bullpen, just let me go if I'm not going to start, or do you think this is just them being done with Walker Buehler?
A little of both, maybe.
Yeah.
A little of both.
Mutual?
Yeah,
I mean, Bill Belichick,
listen,
and Robert Kraft on a stage.
All we have to go by with Walker Buehler is he said absolutely all the right things. I mean, he did not miss a beat when it came to saying the right things. The organization liked having him around, I think. But maybe it was just, hey, listen, you aren't gonna we don't have really a role for you here. You're gonna be a mop up guy. We would rather take a chance on somebody maybe with a little higher end. And then also Walker Buehler saying, okay, well, let me go and I'll hook on with another team.
So this kills the dream that Fitzy and I think the Red Sox had of, if the Red Sox get
out
to October, then Walker Buehler's going to play a bulldog key role.
But he hasn't even been the same he hasn't been that guy since like.
Well, it's not October.
I know, but he went on a
transform.
Something's up. And I just want to say, initially, the guy who still loves the Red Sox as much as he did as a kid, now in his 30s, 51. I'm bummed. I'm legitimately bummed. I wanted this to work out so badly. He had a chance to go to a lot of places. He chose here. And I think the team was excited to have his moxie, that person, that attitude, his experience, Bradfo, and he has just not been there. It's just not.
So the Red Sox, Craig Breslow had a great offseason. I mean, that's irrefutable. He had a great offseason. The only misstep he had was Walker Buehler. Mm-hmm. And really, so the other guys who were going to be Walker Buehler, potentially, Nathan Eovaldi, it came down the Red Sox and the Rangers. Nathan Eovaldi, he's out for the year now, but he has had this historic year. Yep. Unbelievable.
Yep.
They thought, actually, going into that night, they thought they had Eovaldi, but the Rangers added a third year. So, no Eovaldi. And then, Nick Pivetta, you offer the qualifying offer. He could have taken it. No Walker Buehler. But neither have happened. You get Walker Buehler. And I'm kind of with you. I think that most of baseball thought, oh, I see where you struggled, but how you got better and you finished off the World Series and how you're going to be better this time around. But it just never took. I mean, it just never took.
Wait, so he didn't just end the World Series, Andy. He struck out. I cannot believe I first whiffed on his name. The former Red Sox that went to the Yankees.
Oh, Alex Verdugo.
Verdugo. He struck out Verdugo, which made it even more poetic.
And where's he now?
Nowhere.
No, seriously, where's he now?
Yeah, nowhere.
Outside the window.
The thing that I find interesting here is I hear what you're saying about Walker Buehler and sort of this dream story that Steve Buckley would love about the Bulldog in October and all those things. The reality is I was sick of seeing him do like walk, home run allowed. And this gets rid of a guy.
They were too.
I know. And this is starting to chip away at the few people that you feel like don't do their jobs. Like, this team has built up a lot of people through youth, through their seasons have turned around, whatever, that do their jobs and are part of why they're a good baseball team right now. So this is one, and I only have two left on my list. I don't know if you have a three-man list.
Oh, I'm with you.
And one of them actually pitched the other day and was okay, Jordan Hicks. Not sure what the hell his deal's going to be, if I ever can count on him to do anything.
That's
important.
A little bit different.
Well, there's money involved. I know Cora likes guys that throw 100. Usually I do too.
There's money involved.
There's money involved.
There's $24 million after this year involved.
And then the next one also has money involved. It's Yoshida, who I despise watching him come to the plate.
I think both are fair. You know, I think that Hicks is still going to be interesting enough and shown enough signs where you're like, yeah, we're not going to use him like we thought we would use him, but we'll use him. Because like his stuff, unlike Buehler, his stuff is there. He's just going to figure out how to get out.
When you can hit 100 still,
right,
you should find a way to work with that.
But Yoshida is a good point. At some point, this is rubber meets the road time.
Yep.
Put on the bumper stickers, right?
Yeah.
It's rubber meets the road time that you can't, especially as you get deeper into September. Yeah, you have this method of going out against righties. We're going to throw Yoshida out. This is who's going to play. But if you keep grounding out 4-3, it's not going to happen. And how can you do that in the playoffs? We're reaching a point with Yoshida where we have to stop saying, yes, it was a major shoulder surgery. It's going to take him time. Maybe it will take him time. But as we said, rubber meets the road. This is everything. And the Buehler situation is a perfect example of that. It started with taking out of the rotation. Like, they waited a long time. They wanted this to work. You take him out of the rotation, you put him in the bullpen, you take him out of the bullpen, and you put him on the waiver wire.
He just gets DFA'd, and you know whether or not that means, obviously this means that Toley could be sticking around long haul so long as the moment isn't too big or he doesn't get injured. Does this possibly even free up some space for somebody else to get called up, like a Kyle Harrison?
Yeah, I think so, but I think that Toley's going to get first shot at this spot in the rotation, and then you figure out what the rest of the bullpen looks like. Because even when they sent Buehler to, with all due respect to the dream scenario that you had, which I get it, everyone had this, a Buehler all of a sudden finding his stuff and ending up closing out games or pitching in the eighth and ninth inning. With all due respect to that, like it still wasn't near that. This stuff wasn't there. The production wasn't there.
The confidence wasn't
there. I do miss.
He gave up on himself in May. At least the team waited until September.
I don't know how many more tweets I could read where he's like, well, that's probably the Buffalo Trace talking. Like, you can only send so many midnight bourbon.
Great call.
Yeah.
Great call. Like, I sucked. I might be out of baseball. Yes. Forget about, like, being in the postseason. And I always remember when he talked, which we always appreciate, right? We always appreciate when guys do that.
Yes.
Not only for the accountability, but for the entertainment factor. Mm-hmm. Beckett was that way. Beckett, when losses, he was awesome. Awesome. I mean, F-bombs left and right, everything. It was awesome. And that's how Buehler was. But at the same time, Beckett won enough where there wasn't a whole lot of those. But Buehler, there was far too many.
617-779-7937. Let's work in some phone calls. We're talking about Peyton Tolley's schemes here, Fenway Park tonight. We're talking about the release of Walker Buehler, the release of Jabril Peppers. There's comings, there's goings. Let's go to the phone lines. Jack and Waltham. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys. I want to say off the bat, tonight is definitely a hot ticket. I'm excited to watch. I just don't think it's number one. I look at this matchup as the new guy who's hyped, completely unproven on the major league level, versus the guy who's currently dominating the NL. The game that I think supersedes this is Crochet, who is the relatively new starter, but has proven that he's worth the major league hype, versus Kershaw, that Saturday night game where Kershaw's dominated the NL for over a decade and is first ballot Hall of Famer.
Thanks for the call, Jack. Bradfoe, would you like to respond with words? You've already responded with faces.
What was his name?
Jack and Waltham.
Jack and Waltham.
You don't know Jack.
I like you personally. I respect your opinion. Mm-hmm. It's your prerogative to be wrong.
Yep. Love following him on LinkedIn.
Yeah, but no. Kershaw and Crochet, no, this is bigger. And it's not necessarily, I get it, what Kershaw was, but for the people always love the here and the now, right?
Yes.
More so than the iconic pitcher that we get a chance to see, which he's 75% of himself, against the guy that we always see, which is Crochet. Now we get two pitchers that Fenway Park has never seen. Never.
Yeah, literally.
And you know people like to get in on the ground floor. And this is getting in on the ground floor. This isn't waiting till Tolley is like a three-time, you know, Cy Young top five. No. This is the first time you will ever see him on the mound at Fenway Park in a pennant race going against Paul Skeens. Like, this is something special. He's going to have lots of starts.
He'll only have one first. Mustang against the Corvette.
You always remember the first, right, Fitzy?
Sure, yeah.
617-779-7937.
I still need there to be a first to remember.
We'll continue to talk about Paul Skeens and Peyton Tolley, Fenway Park. We'll add in Walker Buehler getting his release. And we tried to squeeze in there, but Buehler had to steal the limelight. Jabril Peppers has been cut by the Patriots. Some of his former teammates and even himself don't seem happy about it. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Walks being, you know, the key for you right now.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, man. I think the last time I walked this many in a season, I threw 207 innings. So, it just sucks.
Walker Buehler, good news, bad news. He probably won't walk any more batters this season. That's because Red Sox have released him.
Is he not going to give up another five-run first inning?
You know what's going to happen.
Oh. Is he going to land with some good team?
No. He's not going to land with some good team.
The Dodgers?
He's going to land with the Dodgers.
Find my
audio. He's going to pitch a ninth inning.
I said it like a month ago. I said, watch, he's going to get released, go back to the Dodgers, find his form, and be a stud in the postseason.
And get the final out of the season.
Against the Sox.
No. What are the first two letters of nostalgia? Not happening. He's toast. Did you hear the man? I know you couldn't really hear the F-bomb in there because it was really well bleeped, but he said it's effing embarrassing to go out there and pitch.
At this time,
right now. That's toast.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know,
you're probably right, but at this time last year, they were saying the exact same thing about Walker Buehler.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing.
Tale as old as time, Andy.
They were kind of right.
It was just that little blip in the postseason.
All you need is
time
a blip.
Time is a flat circle.
Science suggests all you need is a blip.
All he's got to do is go out, hook up with Shohei Ohtani and, you know, his bookie. And just bet on it.
Bet on himself, literally and figuratively, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, he's going to be on the Mookie Betts podcast within a week.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Ben in Newton has a thought on the Peyton Tolley debut. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
All right, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So my opinion is, assuming the rain doesn't rain out the game and they don't go to a different starter tomorrow or whenever the game would be made up, I don't think this is as big as a debut as you should think it is, because he's having to face on the opposite end of pitcher in Paul Skeens, who I think, as the guy said like 20 minutes ago, hasn't had a game where he's had more than 7 hits against. And with everything the way the Red Sox offense has begun, I again just don't think it's as big as we think it should be, and give too much harsh criticism if he doesn't win or do well, because he's going to have to, in my back of the mind, be saying, okay, I'm facing someone like Paul Skeens, I have to do extra work. So I just think there's that much criticism.
All right, thanks for the call, Ben.
Hey, but no. You know what, Ben? I think Ben is an astute baseball server, but I think that if you wanted to define overthinking, it was that call.
Yeah, there was a lot of thinking in there.
This is Peyton Tolley against the Pirates and Paul Skeens against the Red Sox. They don't literally, you don't win
Tom
by
Brady
like,
versus Peyton Manning. They don't actually face each other.
Yeah, like you know, at the end of the game, it's not like, all right, let's see who had the greater stats for the Team W.
So you tell me I should worry about like O'Neill Cruz hitting like a 600-foot home run or something off of it?
Yeah, what if Peyton Tolley goes out and pitches 4 innings and strikes out 10? You know, gives up a couple runs, right?
That's
everyone's going to be like, yeah, and the Red Sox lose. They'll still be like, yay.
Absolutely. You will see my flagpole of Red Sox excitement from the Cape.
We'll be extending the season beyond the second round of the playoffs. We'll be thinking ALCS.
It'll have
beyond.
A light on it like the
Luxor. Is that sponsored? No.
Like, that was the biggest wet blanket call we've had. That Ben,
he's
overanalyzing,
overthinking.
Oh, let's go.
Well, I think Andy, I think what it comes back to is that we asked the question: is this the biggest start of the season? Is this the biggest start in a long, long time? And I think people are tying themselves into knots to find reasons to say it's not. But I don't want to hear the Kershaw crochet thing or that call. If someone has another good example, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you, it's not. Because of the dynamic.
Bring an example and he'll tell you
right,
no.
Yeah, it's your prerogative to be wrong. But it's just, this is the everything about the way that we live in this world right now is this is it. It's about, it's not necessarily about, oh man, he has the best FIP or he has the best ERA or he has the best fastball, a curveball, a sweeper. No, it's about the images, the iconic guys, the storylines, like all of that's why this is so huge.
And it's about getting greedy. I love that word that Alex Cora used last year. Okay, so Roman Anthony looks like a superstar, correct? Superstar, not star, superstar. Why can't we now dream about the superstar pitcher to align with him for the next decade at Fenway
Park? We can dream about that for sure, but right now in terms
of... It might be Bayo, but who knows?
In terms of focusing my greed, I am focusing all of my greed on getting this team into the postseason.
Oh, they're there.
A lot of
it's over.
96%
or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was coming from the same guy who said, I don't like all these stats. Oh, the Celtics have a 98% chance to win the series against the Heat.
They didn't. It was 99, I believe.
It was 92.
And they still lost.
Yeah. I want them not only in the postseason, I want this team to do damage. I want them to make noise. I want the Red Sox to go at least to the ALCS, and a guy like Tolley could very well play a significant
part. That's the thing, right, is that we yell and scream about the trade deadline. What impact guy did you get? And when you don't get the impact guy or the guy that you felt like there's going to be the marquee, the Joe Ryan guy, then you're, we're tying ourselves into knots figuring out how it's going to work, but it's not nearly as entertaining. But what is entertaining, even guys like Nathaniel Lowe coming in and hitting big home runs. And certainly when you get guys like this called up, you think that I'll come back to the David Price thing. You think the Tampa Bay Rays fan, when they remember that run to the World Series, the person they remember is a guy who was not on the major league team, had not pitched a major league pitch in August. So, and that was David Price. And that's what could happen here.
Ooh,
absolutely.
That's another thing I hadn't really thought of. I'm assuming Peyton Tolley would have been involved in the Joe Ryan trade since everybody
They offered Peyton Tolley and Jusnixon Garcia or who am I thinking? I always forget his name.
Arias.
Yeah. The other top prospect.
And they turned it down.
Not just football guy in my ass.
So Tolley, Garcia, or Arias, not both of them, but totally along with one of those guys and then more than probably other top 10 guys in the Red Sox.
So you could get lucky here and all of a sudden Tolley can go on a run and you're like, yeah, we didn't get Joe Ryan, but we have an ace
or
like pitcher.
Or you know what? He could be good and you could trade him for Joe Ryan and a deal for Joe Ryan.
Or you trade others and keep him, and then your rotation is Crochet, Bayo, Toley, and Ryan.
Sure. I mean, it's...
And then when Skeens is too expensive for the Pirates, you get him.
You guys have been in this world of media long enough to know that people love the unknown. They love the fake trades.
Oh, absolutely.
They love that more than anything.
Well, the owner of the Cowboys does. The owner of the Cowboys just traded for the unknown. He had one of the great knowns in all of football, and he's like, well, these two first-round picks could really be something.
I don't know if you know this, Bradfo, but some of those picks can turn into first-rounders.
I know you got to go, but did you see that, Doc? The Cowboys doc?
No, is it good? Worth watching?
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
Put it on the
watch both list. Of you, please.
Because it's
please.
Such a mess?
It's because it was like the 2004, why the 2004 Red Sox one was so much better than the other Red Sox one. Because you have people from who have lived through it now. Now they can actually tell the truth.
Right.
Right? Michael Irvin can say what happened in the White House.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah.
Bradfo, thanks for stopping
by. All right, thanks, guys.
Wait, yell it one more time.
McFarland. Tomorrow, by the way, 1 o'clock, right, Ken? 1 o'clock. Right, yes, correct.
McFarland.
1 o'clock, 1 o'clock tomorrow.
All right, thanks, Bradfo. Right, enjoy thanks. The game tonight, assuming we have one. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for the three-point stance. Before we get to that, though, you have a chance to be a winner. Be caller number 9 now to the contest line at 617-931-0937, and you'll score a pair of passes to the 2004 Red Sox Championship Cruise with Kevin Millar and teammates on September 14th. Limited tickets are still available at cityexperiences.com. Caller number 9 right now, 617-931-0937. Up next, time for a three-point stance. Stiz is stepping up to the bat today, and he's going to tell you he's something he's excited about that he's never been excited about before. That's next on WEEI Afternoons.